God is not looking for more stars. He's looking for more servants. Amen?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant begins a short five-part series on lessons from the ministry of the prophet Elijah. And in the first part of the message airing tonight, we will hear how this man called Elijah, whose name means God is Jehovah, came out of nowhere to confront an evil king who had turned the nation to worship Baal. But we'll also hear how Elijah's life was not all smashing victory. He had his down moments, his time of despair. Nevertheless, we will hear how by his commitment to serving and following the Lord, he found his true purpose as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of the Old Testament prophets. Tonight's main text is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17, so we invite you to turn there in your Bibles and follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, A Hero Lies in You. Here now is Pastor Grant.
This morning we've been paying tribute to the legacy of Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was born a slave, but you know, she always dreamed of becoming free. Not everybody who was a slave dreamt of being free, but she did. But freedom took a long time. In fact, it wasn't until 1849 that Harriet Tubman finally got her freedom. At that time, she was 27 years old. Some of this you heard before, and you know, she had heard she was going to be sold again to another slave plantation further in the south, and she knew that if she was sold to a plantation even further south, conditions would get even harder. And so right then at age 27 in 1849, Harriet Tubman decided, Araminta, as she was born, Araminta decided that she would plan to escape. And so one dark night, she decided to take her chance. You see, the darkness would make it harder for the slave masters to see that she was running away. And so when it was very dark, Araminta ran. But getting to safety would not be easy. Because the slave masters knew that Araminta would head north, because she had to get north of what's called the Mason-Dixon line. You see, the Mason-Dixon line is an imaginary line, and anywhere north of the Mason-Dixon line, slavery was illegal. So therefore, she was going to head north to try to get beyond the Mason-Dixon line. And of course, what would also make it difficult is that she only had a few hours head start of the masters, because by morning they would realize that she had disappeared, and they would have men on horses with dogs searching for her, and they would know where she was heading. That would make it easier for them to find her. So she knew she was up against a challenge, but Harriet Tubman knew God. And Harriet Tubman believed that God would help her. And so even though she had no compass, she decided she would just rely on God's compass. And so she followed the North Star. Now make it, just be real. Now this was not going to be easy, because she would have to travel almost 100 miles on foot by herself, without the proper footwear, knowing for sure all these people were hunting for her. She'd have to be ducking and dodging and diving. But almost 2 weeks after she had started, Harriet Tubman finally crossed the Mason-Dixon line. Harriet Tubman was free. You heard the story. She became one of the leaders in this underground railroad. She would make all these trips down south, which, you know, most people, once you escape, you aren't going back. But she made all these trips heading south, never ever losing any of the people that she was trying to rescue. And she brought all these people to safety. You know, Harriet Tubman became a real American hero. You know, sometimes it says she became a black American hero. She became a true American hero. This lady who was born, I hope you're with me this morning, this lady who was born into such adverse circumstances became a true hero. And this morning I want to speak to you on the theme, a hero lies in you. Because I believe that a hero is lying in each of us. And this morning, I want to specifically encourage the young people to pay attention. I know some of you don't know, I've been observing you, but I know that some of you young guys, when you come to church, you make every effort not to pay attention. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that if you're one of those who tries not to pay attention, that you make every effort to pay attention this morning, because God has something very special to say to each of us this morning. And young person or older person, if you respond and decide to act on what God is saying this morning, it could transform your life permanently for good. Young lady, I hope you're listening to me, because God wants to make you into one of his heroes. Amen. Now listen, God is not interested to make heroes out of people who are seeking to be a hero. There are too many people who want to be important, who want to stand out. God is not trying to make a hero out of somebody who is already out there seeking to be somebody important, somebody special. Write this in your notes. God is not looking for more stars. He's looking for more servants. Amen? Put that in your notes. He's not looking for more stars. He's looking for more servants. He's looking for people like Harriet Tubman. Amen. People like Harriet Tubman, just ordinary people who desire to serve him and to serve humanity. People who love God with all their hearts and who love their neighbors as themselves. Just ordinary servants who he can use to become extraordinary heroes. A hero lies in you. Today I want to begin a brand new series on the life of Elijah, an ordinary man who became one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. And I want us to pay a little attention. It's only a 5-message series. I trust you'll join me for all 5 messages. But listen, as we follow along in this series, you'll find out that this ordinary man became an extraordinary hero. And we're going to learn a few lessons that will help us to understand, how can I become a true servant of God, the type of servant who God will make into one of his heroes. Here's the first point I want you to grab a hold of. Put this in your notes. Listen, here's the first thing. I must stand courageously for God. I must learn to stand courageously for God. Listen, in 1 Kings chapter 17, I hope you have that text open. 1 Kings 17 and verse number 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" Elijah appeared from nowhere to confront King Ahab. You know, it's interesting. The Bible gives us very little information on Elijah's background. He was clearly not a member of the who's who. He appears to be to have been a nobody, but with one major qualification. Here was what made Elijah different from all the other folks in Israel at that time, is Elijah loved God. You know, the name Elijah is very interesting. The name Elijah, Dr. Elijah Korich is here. Elijah means, "My God is Yahweh." My God is Yahweh. Put that in your notes. Elijah means, "My God is Yahweh." And as his name suggests, Elijah was devoted to God. That made him stand out. For Elijah lived in a day and in an age when the Jewish nation had totally backslidden from God. In fact, they had backslidden so far. Are you with me this morning? They had so badly backslidden that the Jewish nation was serving the idol Baal. How in the world does God people end up worshiping idols? Well, turn to chapter 16 and let me read for you a few verses beginning in verse number 29. 1 Kings 16, 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. It came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Here's what the Bible is saying. Jeroboam was a wicked guy. But as far as Ahab was concerned, Jeroboam wasn't wicked enough. He wanted to go even further. So he took a wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, who turns out to be one of the priests of Baal and king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal. The king of Israel went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Listen, Ahab disobeyed God. And he married an ungodly woman named Jezebel. Oh, we better watch out, guys. Watch out. He married an ungodly woman named Jezebel. And in the upcoming weeks, we'll discover that as a result of his marriage to Jezebel, Ahab ended totally, it totally destroyed him.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Let me just pause. Young people and older ones, when God says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, guess what he means? He means, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So girls, don't come and tell me, Pastor Brian, Roscoe is almost saved. You see, being almost saved is no different from being almost pregnant. You either is or you ain't. Amen? If Roscoe ain't saved, he not almost saved. There ain't no such thing. And God says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The founder of our church, Dr. B. Sam Hart, and I've quoted this to you before, but I'll say it to you again. You know, Dr. Hart was a pilot, and he had a few accidents. You know, having an accident in a plane is not particularly fun. I remember one time I heard that he landed, he needed to land badly, and so he brought the plane down on some field, and the plane, you know, couldn't break it in enough time, and he, poor fella, he ended up in a swimming pool. But I tell you, it's better to end in a swimming pool than in a house, amen? He had a few accidents. And so Dr. Hart, he always said to us, it is better to be on the ground wishing you were in the air than to be in the air wishing you were on the ground. Well, I've been up in the air. I'm no pilot, but I've been up in the air sometimes, and things got so bad, I wished I were on the ground. Listen to me good. It is better, young person, it is better to wish you had a mate than to be in a marriage and wishing you had no mate. And the time has come, young people, when it's time to stop this foolishness of feeling your case is going to be the exception, that God is going to let you get away with obeying him. And guess what? He ain't gonna let you get away. His word is confirmed. It is settled in heaven. And God says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And I believe somebody here this morning needs to hear this word, because I believe there might be somebody in our audience who is messing around and flirting with Baal, a child of Baal, messing around with Jezebel. Oh, I know she fine. But I tell you, no matter how fine she is, if you marry to Jezebel, you're going to be living in hell. May God give us the wisdom to make sure we marry the right person, and we marry somebody, stay with me, who loves Jesus. Not only somebody who said, I went forward in church. No, somebody who loves Jesus. What a world of difference it makes. I hope you hear what I'm saying, young lady, young man. Make sure, don't fool around with, oh my, I wish I had time to go down that path. Listen, Ahab got the whole nation to be worshiping Baal. The king of Israel made a temple to Baal, and he had the nation worshiping Baal. But Elijah, this man from nowhere, this nobody, this man, he decided, I am not going to follow the crowd. I am going to stand courageously for God. Are you willing to make that type of commitment? Listen, if you want God to make you into one of his heroes, if you want to be the type of servant whom God can use, and listen, I'm saying God wants to use you. He wants to do something spectacular in your life. But you must be that type of servant who is going to stand courageously for God. When we were in Alaska, we went to watch the salmon. I was always intrigued because I heard how when the salmon is about to die, he goes back to where he was spawned, we went to watch them, and it was just amazing. Even when they came to rapids or low waterfalls, the salmon was able to leap out the water and lurch himself forward so that he could go against the tide and make his way upstream to within feet of where he was born. Amazing. Any dead salmon can go downstream with the tide. It's only a living, live salmon that can swim against the tide. And God is looking for people who say, I belong to Jesus, people with spiritual backbone, who are saying, God, I'm not going to just float like the rest of the sinners. Any sinner can go downstream. Any sinner can follow the crowd. It takes someone with spiritual backbone, with a commitment to God, to say, no matter what the world might do, I'm still going to follow Jesus. I need to ask you, young person, old person, have you made that commitment? Are you at that point in your life where you have said, God, no matter what the others might do, I will stand courageously for you? Hallelujah. I trust this morning you might come to that decision. It starts with salvation. You see, we're all born messed up. We're all born sinners. We're all born short of God's expectation. But hallelujah, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Amen. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sin. And those of us who receive him by faith, we invite Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and in our lives. He will save us. My, I hope you have done it already. But if you haven't done it, you can do it this morning. This morning, you can come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, The first thing we observe from the life of Elijah was willing to stand courageously for God. But the second thing we notice in the text, that he was surrendered to God's purpose. Put this in your note: surrender to God's purpose for your life. Surrender to God's purpose for your life. Listen, young man, I hope you're listening. God has big plans for you. You hear what I'm saying? He has big plans for you. You know, sometimes because of where we come from, we don't believe it. But God has big plans for you. He made you for a particular purpose, but you will never discover why God made you until you're willing to surrender to his purpose. You've got to have that desire. God, I'm willing to surrender to you because I really want to find out, why did you put me here? You know, some of you have been fighting God for a while. Oh, I know you're here this morning. You've been fighting God for a while. You've been trying to figure life out your way. You've been trying to make a life. You've been trying to make a life. You've tried to, I tell you, you are fighting a losing battle. Listen, God is willing to help you discover your purpose, but it's time to stop fighting him. It's time to realize you do not have a better idea. That's the thing, you know, we think we're so smart. I don't have to follow God. Yeah, some of you are here, you know, you figure you can do it your way. Go ahead. I can bring you scores of people who decided to do it their way, who have bankrupt and destroyed their lives. Listen, it pays to serve Jesus. And today I want to encourage you, decide to follow God. Decide to go his way. Now, are you ready? Put this in your notes. As you decide to surrender to God's purpose, allow God to lead you on his grand adventure. I put the word adventure because, brothers and sisters, listen, young people, you want an adventure? God has the adventure of a lifetime ready for you. Allow God to lead you on his grand adventure. Look at verse number 2 of 1 Kings 17. I'm going to read to verse number 9. Then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, get up and run to, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. It will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him again, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Listen, allow God to lead you on his grand adventures. Did you notice that there are two destinations on this grand adventure that God sent Elijah on? The first stop in the grand adventure, God sent him to go to a brook and to be fed by ravens. I don't know about you, but I don't find that a particularly appealing adventure. For guess what? A raven is a scavenger. A raven is a scavenger bird. You know what a scavenger is? They like dead stuff. And then the second thing he's sent to do, he's to go to a widow on the brink of starvation. When God sends you on his grand adventures, it might not seem very appealing.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.